1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
From Los Angeles, the Comb Over Boy Show.
Hello, Los Angeles and America. Welcome to the Comb Over Boy Show. Not your usual kind of talk show, no. Not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon. I am your host, and we talk about the issues
you
really care about. On number 1-800, oh my God, you blow. 1-800, oh my God, you blow. And welcome to our program this hour. And I'm going to tell you right now something that's been in the news. And I want to just drag this out as much as I can. Because as you know, I have so very little material that I've found out if I talk and have long pauses between the things I say, I can drag 5 minutes worth of material out to about 4 hours. And we do it every day on the Comb Over Boys Show. So we talk about the issues we really care about. A lot of guys listen to this show, and I get an awful lot of email from people, but none of it really addresses the things that men care about. But since I know about what guys care about, let me tell you what's going on in my life right now. The U.S. government isn't allowing its citizens to adopt children victimized by the tsunami. Now, how am I supposed to get laid?
The Comb Over Boy Show.
What? Yes, hello. Is this Alice?
Hi, I'm Alice. I love your program, and I listen to it as much as I can. I thought that was...
What?
I thought that was in bad taste. I really do. And I know your Comb Over Boy sketch. I really like it.
Yeah, it was bad, Phil.
Well, who's asking you, man?
I'm just telling you, Mr. Hall's going to want to...
What are you people talking about?
I thought it was... how am I supposed to get laid? That's all I wanted to say, Phil. And I really... I'm a backstage pass holder, but I'm not going to...
But wait a minute, ma'am.
No, I just...
Yes.
David?
Now what are you doing? Now what are you doing?
You... It's the comb-over boy.
I know it's the comb-over boy bit, but there's some lines you don't cross. You see this line? This line I don't step over. And you just stepped over a big line. You...
Well, look at all the guy ever talks about is sex.
I know. But for you to bring up child prostitution. Now, you know that Mudslide Sam was going to come in, right?
You mean that blues singer?
Yeah. Look, they're dusting off the hot seat for me. And when Mudslide Sam doesn't want to come in...
That guy changes his name with every bad weather condition. He was Tsunami Bill last hour.
Well, he's Mudslide Sam now because of the rain we've been having. And even he doesn't want to come in.
Sam's right here. But open the door for him.
Hey, Mr. Sam.
How you doing?
Is that Mudslide?
You know how I am here on a protest because I didn't want to come back. First of all, Mr. Henry didn't like the music that I sang.
Well, I can understand that.
Oh, the guy started singing, "Well, You'll Never Walk Alone." He's supposed to be a blues singer.
Oh, well, get you. Aren't you Mr. Black Culture? Aren't you Mr. I've Been Out in the Cotton Field? Let Mudslide Sam do what he wants to do.
Mr. Hall?
Who's that?
I actually changed my name to Typhoid Epidemic Bill. And
okay.
What do you mean, Typhoid Epidemic Bill? This guy's changing his name with every new thing that's in the news.
All right, let him. If he wants to come out with Vote Recount Eddie, we can do that too. Go ahead, Mudslide, or Typhoid Epidemic, whatever the hell your name is.
I want to sing a song, the blues song, let everybody know how it feels, you know, to be a part of such a very, very bad thing. Like a
Typhoid Epidemic?
You smart ass.
No, a tsunami.
Well, then why don't you call yourself Tsunami Sam?
Because I changed my name. Just a P-O-U.
Let him sing it, and don't you ever do that Comb Over Boy material. All right?
By the way, you mind? I just had a thought. I want to change my name to Pink Eye Pete. Because it's the school season.
Certainly. Go ahead, announce him, Phil.
What are you asking me to do?
Announce the guy so he can sing his blues song and we can get ourselves as far away from that rotten comb-over boy material that you did. Now, I want you to wait for me in my office when you get off the air.
You're not even there.
That's right. Just wait there all night.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Pink Eye Pete.
You're making fun of my choice. I'm a blues man, and everything I do is the blues.
I understand, man, but you got to keep changing your name from Mudslide to Pink Eye to Typhoid Epidemic. I mean, for God's sake, you know.
Last week I was Blue Balls Bill.
Will you come on and just do the song?
Well. Yeah.
All I want is a room somewhere.
How you doing, Phil?
Hey, man, you can't touch me.
Get out of here, my fair lady.
You be here for my lawyer. Just wait for a thing that says Black Plague Greg.
Look at these blues guys, man. And there ain't no blues guys anymore anyway. There used to be big-time blues guys. Not anymore.
What you talking about? I ain't big-time?
No, Pink Eye, you ain't. Pink Eye Pete. Typhoid Bob. You're the guy that wrote that bit about comb-over boy, too, bud.
I thought it'd be really funny.
Yeah, and then you call up Hall and... 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night, Doug Danger on The Phil Hendry Show. A gay man and a gay journalist will find out what's on his mind. Don't forget, you can order the Best of The Phil Hendry Show CD by going to our website. And we do receive quite a bit of email on this. How do I get the CDs? You go to our website. They're all available there. Now, you have to go to our souvenir shop, and there will be a little icon, I think, up at the top of the page that says, order the Phil Hendry CD here. Go there, and my friend's place has in stock all of the CDs down through, I think, 1997, and so you can get all of those. And all of the money goes to the folks at my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. I just thought of something. They got our DAT player because they were going to listen to some shows down there to get us nominated for a Peabody Award. You better call them because somebody's going to go nuts around here. They're going to think they got their DAT player ripped off. Okay?
I'll make the call.
No, you don't call anybody. Chris is going to do it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, I'm John Kerry. I'm Ted Williams' head, and I just wanted to remind you, you look pretty schmucky with a John Kerry sticker still on your car. See, I blew it. Paid for by Kerry for President. Here's an interesting email from Marianne who says, this is the first time I heard your show. Tonight's show made me laugh and it hurt. No, I won't sue for the stitch in my side. You're annoying and you're also damn funny. Hey, laughter's the best medicine, right? I hate you. Do you believe that? Keep me laughing. Sometimes you really get annoying, but I still can't help laughing. Thanks. Hate, Marianne. Who the hell is Alice? This is the kind of sick, twisted woman that I've got listening to this show. We don't have a whole lot of them, but you can see who they are by going to our website, our wall of female listeners. That's right. There's only 75 women that listen to this show, but their pictures are all up. And do you know that I get fan mail now for these women? One of the things I like about our wall of female listeners is they're regular women. They're normal women. I mean, to me, they're all very pretty in their way. Because I just like a normal looking, I don't know, call me crazy. I'd rather just look at a picture of a regular woman as opposed to FHM's calendar of women who wouldn't even walk across the street to throw a drink in my face, you know? Like, what's that FHM calendar we had in the office? I threw it away because I was just getting depressed. Brooke Burke and Jamie Lynn from, what's her last name, the chick from Sopranos.
What about the Bud Babe of the Week?
Oh, my God. Are you crazy?
What are you talking about? You see, you don't understand women's the way I do.
Bud's Babe of the Week. This week, Loretta Lynn.
You ever seen her in a pair of jeans?
No, thank you. Of course, the way it's going for me these days, I probably wouldn't mind Loretta Lynn in a pair of jeans or otherwise. Are you nuts or something, man? And last week, who was it? Helen Mirren? You got Dolly Parton up there. I know that Pelton thinks she's great. Dolly Parton would freaking turn a man to stone.
Loretta Lynn looked good in Jordache, and you care about Dolly Parton's got big ones.
Who cares? You got one look at Dolly Parton's kisser, man, and a man will turn to a pillar of salt. I mean, seriously, she's got a face on her. It's like the Joker, man. She's got that big clown lips thing going on.
Yeah, you'd crawl over broken glass for that.
Oh, okay, stud. Yeah. Tell me all about it, man. Now, I like the women we got on our website because they are, you know, like I say, they're normal-looking chicks. You can take a look at all of them there on www.philhenryshow.com, our wall of female listeners. We've even got a beautiful little baby named Nadia in there, sent in by her dad. And just like regular women, man. I'm married to one. You guys are married to one, right? They're all, you know, this...
Loretta Lynn, Loretta Lynn, Loretta Lynn, Loretta Lynn.
You keep dreaming, bud. What a sick animal you are. U.S. to deploy 35,000 troops in Baghdad for the elections. Man, we're going to get a bunch of guys down there to try to keep all those ragheads from blowing everybody up while the people in Iraq are trying to vote. By the way, just a tip of the hat to all the men and women in Afghanistan and Iraq. I don't like to let a day go by without saying I love you and I appreciate you. As soon as I said it the last time, I had some guy who claimed to be a veteran email me and saying, that's it, I'm never listening to your show again. And I wrote him back and I said, bye, don't let the screen door hit your ass. No big thing. I just want to say thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're trying to get those 1,000 CDs out to you from the Phil Hendry Show. But those guys are going to be down there as the Iraqis try to vote for the first time. And now what happens if they go ahead and they put some guy in there with a turban and everything? I mean, what if they vote for some dude with the beard all the way down to his crotch and the and a towel on his head who says that America's the big Satan? We're going to have to live with that, man. That's democracy, right? You're going to have to. I say we get our guys out then. Because if they all go to the polls and they vote for some... What if they all, like, en masse vote for Osama bin Laden for president? We're going to have to let the guy come out of retirement, aren't we? What, are we going to tell him, no, he's under arrest? I don't think so. The Iraqi people have spoken. Osama for president. Well, wait a minute. We got a murder indictment out on this guy. Well, that's just a little too... It's going to have to wait, man. He's got a big agenda ahead of him, man. He's got to get the water going. Get the electricity turned on. He looks a little bit like Abe Lincoln, doesn't he? They may turn out and vote for the wrong guy, or they may think the whole thing's a big gag. What if they all just, like, vote for Mickey Mouse? I mean, it'll be the first election. Some guy named Alfred E. Newman runs. They all vote. Well, we don't know what we're doing. Well, what are you doing? What are you talking about, what we're doing? We're voting. Well, what do you mean, Mickey Mouse? Well, I don't know, man. The guy said to vote for him. See, you people come over here and you think that we understand democracy. We don't have a snowball's chance in hell of understanding what you're talking about. We've been living with freaking dictators for so long, right? You know who they ought to run for president over there? Kerry. Might have a chance. The elections are just in, and what am I supposed... Go ahead, read it. Mickey Mouse is the winner of the election in Iraq. I don't know what to tell you. Well, and we're talking now with the average Iraqi citizen. This cat's Haji. How's it going, man?
It's going good, but what we do?
Well, you voted for Mickey Mouse.
Well, nobody explains to us the process. We never vote. Why don't you explain the process?
Well, you're supposed to vote for a guy that's legitimate and stuff.
We're just trying to go along to get along, baby. That's all I'm trying to do.
Now, where's this mouse and get him up there? Because we got to... You guys voted for the wrong guy.
I don't care. This is my country.
Mickey freaking Mouse. Now we got to go and find Mickey Mouse and get him in there. Mickey Mouse, Vice President John Kerry. You got to live with it because that's the beautiful thing about what they tell me. It's the beautiful thing about democracy. And our 35,000 Americans are going to go over there and they're going to secure the whole thing. Thank God for you guys, man. And I ain't the kind. I'm not the kind of person that buys that the Iraqis hate us. I think there's a lot of people over there that dig it and appreciate it and... It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. Everybody's going to come around and feel good about it, man. Even Michael freaking Moore. He's going to be all right with it. As soon as he gets a hold of some Cortislim, he's going to be a happy guy. He's going to be a very happy guy. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686 here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be in Tucson, Arizona on February the 5th. We're going to be doing a CD signing there. It's very exciting to go there.
How come nobody else invites you to go anywhere?
I don't know, but that's it. Tucson, Salt Lake City and Tucson, and there you have it. That's our big world tour. We're hitting all the hot spots. Hey, I'm grateful for the attention, you know. We'll do some signings here in L.A., you know, but here's the thing. If we got a station and we have fans in that market, they want me to pay my way there, and I'm too cheap. So I'm going to have to wait for those guys to come up with it, you know, whatever that may be. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night it's going to be Doug Danger, who is a gay man and a gay journalist, is a special guest on our show. And we don't want you to forget that our souvenir shop's open there on the website. And we also have, of course, our CD, which all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And the money that we, you know, make goes directly to all of those guys. And they do really outstanding work. I mean, they're helping the kids, you know, off the streets, and they're trying to turn their lives around. See, that's my thing. I mean, I realize that there's a whole kind of, what are you looking at, bud? What are you looking at?
Well, your pants.
What about my pants?
Well, can I ask you a question?
What?
How come people wear them bulge-out pants?
What bulge-out pants?
You ever seen people who ride horses?
Yeah.
How come they wear the bulge-out ones?
You mean them pants that go sticking out at the side?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Why?
Because it looks like you're wearing a pair.
What do you mean I'm wearing a pair?
They're bulging out at the side.
That's my wallet.
You look like you're wearing a... You look like you're a Royal Mounted Policeman or something with them bulge-out pants.
It's one side's my wallet, and the other side is my cell phone. And they're slacks.
They look... You look like you're wearing bulge pant. You've got a bulge pant on the one side.
You're right. The slacks don't fit me all that... I mean, I hate wearing slacks, but... What do you mean, bulge pants?
How come they wear them?
I don't know. Something about how they're freaking riding on a horse or something.
You look at you wearing cops, you know, got the bulge pant?
It's pants, man, not pant. The bulge pant. It's because I got my wallet in one side and I got my cell phone in the other and the pants are bulging out at the side.
I mean, wait. What bulges them?
I told you. My wallet in one side and my cell phone in the other, okay?
Yeah, but it's bulging out the side. Don't you want to have it bulge someplace else?
Look at jackass.
Dude, I'd rather wear those bulge pants where it's bulging out in front. You know, like, woo!
Go get me some coffee, man.
But I was having some fun.
Go get me coffee. Why am I wearing bulge pants? Look, brother, I don't know why them people who ride horses wear those pants, but I am. I'm wearing a pair of slacks because I had a meeting today. So I'm like most people, I wear denim or wear jeans or something. I got on a pair of slacks, and me, I throw in my wallet on one side, I put my cell phone in the other, and suddenly everything's hanging down at the side, and you look like a fat pig. You look like Fatty Arbuckle. You know, you look like you're waddling along like. The guy that runs the lube bay at Sears or something. Okay, everybody, we have the car going in there. But I don't know. The problem is I don't have anywhere else to put anything. It ain't cool anymore to wear your wallet in your back pocket, which is where I used to put it. Now you're supposed to, stick it someplace. I don't know. What do you want?
I just heard you got bulge pants on. Now I want to know...
Forget about whether I got on bulge pants. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget NBC's Tsunami movie coming out pretty soon. It'll be starring, I think it's going to be starring Fred Gandhi as the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. And then we're going to have Morgan Fairchild. She's going to be running India, and it's going to be great. It'll be realistic. And they'll be, instead of filming in India, you know, because they don't want to do any location shooting like that, they're probably going to use some place like Malibu as a stand-in for, the beaches of Cambodia. They'll just have, a hut there. And in the background, if you look real close, it'll say Santa Monica Lifeguard Station. But, well, you know, who's counting? 1-800-449-8686. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Still waiting for that day, the miraculous day when the cops actually pull over a guy going too slow in a fast lane. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry, and it's time for another belly-aching session with Phil about people in the fast lane that are sitting there on their ass at 55 miles an hour. Now, I know that the people are, now I know they're trying to make me mad. I know they are. Because when you go around them, they're just, they got the smug look on their face. Like they're entitled. So you're never going to change people's habits. You're never going to change. Some people are just that dumb. Just that dumb. They think that they are legally entitled to sit in the far left lane at 55. They are not. Now, they are, of course, risking the road rage of some people, not me. I have control over that since I've been on the medication, since I visited Dr. Foing over here.
Bruce Lee.
Just shut up. But there are some out there that might take offense. However, the larger issue that we brought up the other day, and I think is very well worth repeating, when are we going to see a cop give somebody a ticket for that? That's going to be a red-letter day, man. You guys that are trying to make a quota or whatever it is that cops do, there's a good one for you. Forget about speeders, man. How about nailing some of these guys that are creeping along at 45 like Grandma Moses over there in the far left lane? And what's funny is this. If you all you got to do is look in your rearview mirror, if you're one of these jerks, right, and you can see 86 miles of traffic behind you, just one car, a big, long snake of cars going back thousands of miles, and all you got to do is look up and go, holy Jesus, you know, and you'll get over. Like, for instance, this was kind of funny. I'm going up Interstate 5. Where the hell was I? Oh, going up to Bass Lake. And I'm going up 5. All right, I'm going to meet Marie and the kids up there. And now I'm in this line of traffic. Up ahead is a large rig, a tractor trailer, 18-wheeler. It's in the left lane. And a stretch of 5 is only 2 lanes going north through the San Joaquin Valley. All right, I understand, and that's fine. And generally, would you just get your rear end over because everybody's tearing up there about 90 miles an hour. But in the left lane is this professional Teamster driving a rig and doing what he should do, which is to stay clear of the faster traffic as he is motoring along. Now, what comes up on his left? Some guy who fancies himself a truck driver too, only he's hauling like carnival equipment or something, okay? This guy has got like a 2-ton and he's got what looks like a large clown head sitting in the back. There's some kind of truckers, they got the cool freight. Maybe it says something like, you know, DHL Express, or they're hauling gasoline. Truck drivers are the coolest on earth. They got that big tanker, man. One false move and we all die. So you better just salute when you go by that guy. And then some guys that are hauling clown heads for the local carnival. So up ahead of me is right this guy here in the right lane, which is the trucker, and he's got like the legitimate large, freight thing. And up ahead in the left lane, directly in front of me, and 68 million cars going all the way back to L.A., is the guy hauling the clown head. And he has come up parallel to the other driver, and they're like rapping.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'll tell you now, I got the clown head I'm taking up here to Tulare. Then I got to turn around and go and fetch probably, the octopus buckets and also the dunk ride. I'm going up here to the Sacramento State Fair, you know. Yeah, okay.
And then all of a sudden, and nobody has honked. Nobody has done anything because I'm thinking, this guy's screwing with us. There's 2 lanes of traffic. One truck is where he is. And the other guy's, this guy's messing with us. So now you're thinking, what are you going to do? You wait till the road widens out. Hope a cop come. What it turned out was this guy was so dumb, he didn't know what he was doing. As soon as he looked into his rearview or whatever mirror he had on the clown head truck and he saw 60,000 miles of cars, he's like, oh, Jesus, you should have seen this guy get over. Just, oh, God. The clown head rocked back and forth in the back of the thing as the car just swung on over there into the right lane. You know, and there we go. So some people are very unconscious, but for the most part, everybody knows what they're doing. They're sitting there and they're trying to piss. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know when you're sitting there and you're blocking traffic, how do you know that I don't have an emergency? I've got to get somewhere. Suppose I've got a child in the car and I got to get to the hospital. Who are you to impede my travel? Now, you're not a cop, so you have no right to regulate my speed. You have no legal right to regulate my speed. Police do. You also are breaking the law by being in that lane, but more importantly, there may be somebody with a legitimate reason that they have to go fast or have to get around you, and you're slowing them up. And unless you're hauling a large clown head, friend, you imagine if that clown head got loose and started rolling down the highway, just this large... Talk about a heart attack. If I saw that coming at me, I'd think I was already dead. Because, in other words, it's one of those death hallucinations. Somewhere back there in the grapevine, I died because there's a clown head coming my way. I must be in some astral hell now. There's a clown, it's rolling right at me with a big nose. I'm already dead. That's cool, all right? It's like a Twilight Zone somewhere. I hope that that's the way death is. In other words, you don't know you're dead until someone taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hi, I'm Satan, and you're dead." Oh, wow. Really? I thought I was still driving a Tulare with the clown head in the back. No, someone shot you because you wouldn't get out of the fast lane. Oh, okay. See, there's your burning truck, and there's the clown head still bounding down the highway. And there's you laying there out in the dirt. Coming up tomorrow night, it's Doug Danger.
I think they know already.
Don't you... Ow! I'm going to tease the show tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, it's Doug Danger. Tomorrow night, it's Doug Danger. Keep talking about the clown head. That's funny.
I ain't going to talk anymore about the clown head. There ain't nothing more to say about a clown head. It was just a clown head in the back. There's some guys that are driving trucks, they're hauling cool stuff, and some guys are hauling crappy stuff, stuff that's embarrassing to haul. Like a truck driver cares, right? Hell, I don't give a damn. I'll haul anything in a bag as long as they pay me. Hell, I'll braziers, you know, you name it, man. I'll haul all kind of thing. Guys going down the road, big hard-bitten truck, you know, truck driver, teamster, experienced all these years, and he's hauling, you know, he's hauling like carnival equipment. He's hauling the big Ferris wheel. He's hauling that, you know, one of those where you throw the ball through the nose of the, you know, the big face. That's what he's hauling. It's just this, yee-hee. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And yes, Doug Danger tomorrow night.
Oh, brother.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Where I'm living right now, you know, it's just kind of a little sabbatical thing that's going on, you know. I'm kind of living apart from the rest of the house right now. Anyway, where I'm living right now is at a little house that we have that's about a block and a half from the El Pacifico, right? A little beach town north of L.A. And... It's a great little house, and it's a great street. Great people live on the street. I dig this street so much. Everybody's such a great neighbor, you know, and of course, they're always, like I told you, they're banging on the door. Phil, you all right in there? Yes, I'm fine. Come on, now. Come on out and have a beer or something, just so we know that you're, you know, like you're cutting your hair, like you're even dressed in clothes. I think you're walking around there nude. No, come on, I'm all right. No. And it's also at an end of the county, Ventura County, that is a little bit neglected. And I said, you know what? I ought to use my position right now on the radio, and maybe we can get some stuff done. Well, you're on the radio. Why don't you say something? I go, okay, I'll say something. Now, we got a street there. We don't want anybody speeding down that street. You dig? And we also want somebody to come around there occasionally and clean that freaking pigsty up, all right? So I'm saying... And I don't mean anything personal by this, Mr. Flynn. I understand the supervisor up there is John Flynn in that part of Ventura County, California. Can I just say to you, sir, I'm sure you're a nice guy, but everybody up there hates you. Because you say all this stuff and then you never do anything, man. Now, how about getting somebody out there to sweep up the freaking streets? And then here's one more thing. I don't want to have to call a garbage collection company every week. Hi, is this the garbage? Yes. My can, you're not picking them up. Oh, did we overlook you again? Yeah, what are you talking about, overlook me again? Will you take my garbage and dump it? See, what happens is, if you're one of the older neighborhoods, and you don't have a lot of juice, because let's say there isn't a whole lot of bread coming out of your neighborhood in terms of, I don't know, tax base or whatever, okay? I mean, the squeaky wheel getting the grease and the, and you know, money talking and all of those marvelous old sayings. You live in an old neighborhood, man. If the garbage guy comes around and is picking his teeth and maybe selects which cans he wants to dump what day, and maybe there's been a pile of crap sitting at the end of the street. I swear to God, we had a pile of... Just a pile of like crap sitting at the end of the street for months until one of my neighbors went down there and picked it up himself. It wasn't crap. It was beach sand combined with palm fronds, combined just junk, you know, that if it, you know, what are you paying your taxes for? You know what I'm saying? So they all get together and go, look, you're on the radio. Why don't you say something for Christ Almighty? I said, well, look, I mean, watch your language. You know, oh, get out of here. Come on, go down there and say something to that guy. The guy's name is Flynn. He's got a big red nose. You know, he's next to a jug. Nah, they didn't say that. And get stuff going, okay? So I am saying very respectfully, you know, we got these cats, you know, like the street, man. It needs to be swept up, if you wouldn't mind. And also, would you get with the garbage company around there and tell them that when they're supposed to pick up garbage, it's like everybody's house. They don't skip mine just because I'm a freaking hermit. You know, just because that's the house where the creepy talk show host lives. We shouldn't go been. You know, it's fine. Pick my garbage up, man. Right now, it's piling up in the kitchen. My wife gets a load of what's going on in there, man. She'll just divorce me out of spite. I'm flicking ashes on the carpeting. That's my business. I'm just asking you guys to take away all my empty TV dinner boxes. My empty TV dinner boxes and what else? Oh, yeah, like the bratwurst packages and stuff and the beer cans. You'll know my house, all the Heineken empties. Just piling right out of that can. Guy driving by, look at that big pile. Oh, yeah, that's Henry's house. I don't know. I can't get them all into recycling, man. Some of them going straight into the garbage. And the other ones, I just toss off the second balcony and they smash in the street. That's why we need a street sweeper. I'm telling you, you know, it's just the little things in life. And the other thing, like I told you, the mayor next door, he actually went out and spray painted on the street, slow kids. Meaning we got a lot of kids on our street, please slow down. You know, not because, what are you laughing at, bud?
I thought you meant you got spastic kids.
Spastic kids, no.
They're all spazzed out.
Funny man, dude.
Are they walking with like their wrist against their chest and they're staring at the sun?
Are they walking like they have their wrist against their chest and they're staring at the sun?
Yeah, that's the way spazzed out kids walk.
You know, you're a real idiot for a guy with a metal plate in his head to be talking like that. Especially since that's the way you walk.
You're a liar.
So he's got to put down slow down kids, and so we'd like a little, maybe a little law enforcement coming around every now and again to keep those guys from speeding down the street. B, how about cleaning the garbage up off the street? And C, it'd be nice if you pick the trash up when you say you're gonna. Other than that, great town. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We are back. Tonight I will jump into my car and head up there, and my neighbors will all come running out and go, that was really cool! Heard it all, everything! It's a great street. I mean, you know, and at the end of the street is some of the world's greatest surfing. Honest to God. I mean, and the street, it's not, I don't know how to describe it. So it's such a nice local place that the people will come in from outside to surf there. But for the most part, it's people who live on the streets and they go down and they surf. But it's some of the greatest surfing in Southern California is right there. And like at 5 o'clock at night, there's people walking down. They get off work. They're walking down with their boards, you know. And now it's, what is it, the water, what, about 40? But it doesn't stop, and they're in their wetsuits, yeah. You know, that's something that I've got to get into. I used to, when I was in high school a little bit, I should get back into surfing only if for no other reason than to get into some semblance of physical shape. I guarantee it is the single most physically exhausting sport to try to learn that there is, without question. It'll kick the crap out of you trying to learn how to surf. You know, I mean, think about it. First of all, you got to paddle. You got to learn how to paddle somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 miles an hour, maybe, to try to get try to catch a wave. And you know, to stand up on the thing takes all kinds of muscle strength from the legs all the way on up into the abdomen. I mean, do you know any fat surfers? Thank you.
What about you?
I'm not talking about...
Ow.
Do I know any fat surfers? Yeah. Didn't Jackie Gleason surf? Oh, it's tough. It'll brutalize you, you know. Probably a great, you know, want to get into shape, America? Let's all forget about, we can forget about every kind of weight loss thing we got. Let's just all learn how to surf. If you live in Nebraska, you know what you can do? Yeah, walk to the nearest beach. That'll get you in shape. Phil Hendry's show. Tomorrow night, it's...
Doug Danger.
See you then.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.